Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour and time for Inspirational Wednesday Night Bible Study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And as always, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to go before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together, and you is doing it from the comfort of your home. God is such a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. Our lesson tonight is going to be the same information that I asked you to read on last week, the book of Luke. We're going to come through the 11th and the 19th chapter, because I wasn't able to do the program on last week. I was stuck in traffic going to Houston, Texas by my sister for the Thanksgiving weekend and for the Thanksgiving period, holiday time, and the traffic was so heavy, and we were still on the road, and I knew it would be impossible, even though I could have went in the studio through my phone, but you would have been able to hear all of the noises that was, you know, was from the highway and stuff. So that's why I didn't do the program. But I thank God that he see fit that we are together tonight. And our theme, I changed the theme because after pondering on it for a week, the one that I had, the theme that I had before, I changed it tonight to say, being thankful is a hard thing. Being thankful is a hard thing. And we're coming from Luke, the 17th chapter, the 11th through the 19th verse. Oh, as always, we have to go to the throne of grace, and we have to give God his praise and honor. But what I'm going to do is play a song right now. Once the song is played, we're going to come back, and I think Madison is on the air, and Madison is going to lead us to the throne of grace on tonight. The record that I'm going to play, I want you to listen to the words of the music, because the name of the title of the song is Still Say Thank You, Still Say Thank You. So it's a beautiful song. It's appropriate for the lesson, and there's a message in it. Once the song is finished playing, I'm going to come back, and Madison is going to lift us up in prayer, and we're going to explore the Word of God together. So be blessed.
Turn.
thing you've done in my life. I say thank you. Just want to thank you. How must I shall say thank you. Oh, thank you. Hey, I thank you. Just want to say thank you.
And after hearing that song, how could you not be grateful and thankful to God for all that he has done and is doing and has promised to do in our lives? We should have a heart of thanksgiving towards God. And yet some people never take time to say thank you. And at this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And that song, I don't know about you, but it has ushered me in. And I'm just grateful, and I'm ready to get in the Word of God. So, Madison, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
How you doing tonight, baby?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You want to say anything before you do the prayer? You want to go straight into your prayer?
Go straight into the prayer.
Okay, you can go.
God, thank you for strengthening us today so we could wake up and that we could tune into the program and that we could learn more about you, God. And thank you for allowing everybody to stay alive and have safe travels this Thanksgiving on the way coming back and on the way going. Thank you, God, for being part of everybody's lives and trying to let everybody know that you're alive so they can have a better life and know that somebody is watching over them, God. Thank you, God, for each day waking us up so we can see a new one and that when we die, we have made the right choice to go to heaven and that we can have eternal life in paradise. Thank you, God, for allowing everybody to just live a safe life right now. And although evil things are going on, it got to get worse before it gets better. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. And I just love your prayer because you just always say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And that's what a heart of thanksgiving is all about. Thank you for calling in, Madison. And if you can, listen to the program, because I know, tomorrow is a school day. But just always know that I appreciate every time you call in and lift up prayer in the name of Jesus. And God is going to honor that, and he's going to take care of you. And I'm asking each and everyone that's listening, please pray for my grandson, because it's critical times for young black men in America, all around the world, and he's 12 years old. And pray that he does well in school. And we have to just be praying for one another. So, Madison, thank you.
You're welcome.
I see more callers that's called in. So our title for the lesson tonight is Being Thankful is a Heart Thing, Not a Mouth Thing. But it's a heart thing. And when I wanted to give background, and we're coming from Luke, for those who just call and have your Bibles, go to Luke, the 17th chapter. We're going to expound on the 11th through the 19th verse, but I ask you guys to read the entire chapter of Luke. And I believe you were, if you did, you was blessed. Like Madison saying, so many evil things is going on in the world. And, just today, they have so many things that happened today, yesterday. In Colombia, a plane crashed and 71 people died. It was most of the people that died or all of the people that died was on one soccer team. And on that plane was 77 people and 71 people perished. they showed a clip of the people in the soccer team locker room. They only had one person. And I don't know if it was a survivor, but someone was just happened to be sitting in there. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, there's tragedies going all around in the South, and it touched a lot of states in the South. And if you followed the news, you know, they was calling it a biblical plague of the South, because they had droughts and fires and floods, and then they had a killer storm. Tennessee, 7 died, and they're expecting to find more. Alabama, the tornado killed 5 people, and they're still searching for other people. And a storm was also sighted in Louisiana and Mississippi. That's states in the South, and they're saying it kind of give them, it almost seemed like it's the rapture and what's really going on, and God is trying to get your attention. So with all of this going on, we can say that we are thankful and we're grateful, because it's just tragedy all around us. But God is protecting you. God is shielding you from danger seen and unseen. And if you can't take time to thank him for what you know, you got to even thank him for the things you don't know that he's worked out for you that you don't even know. That's why they say thank him for protecting you, not just from what you could see, but the unseen as well. But, you know, like I say, we have so much to be thankful for. And I tell you, I can't speak for none of you, but I can speak for myself. I come to you tonight with a heart of thanksgiving, thanking God for all that he is, and all that he's trying to mold and shape me into my intended purpose. You know, if we look at the word thanksgiving, it's two words, thanks and giving. So if you truly is thankful, then you would truly give. You can't be thankful without giving. You see, Webster Dictionary state that thanksgiving is the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgments of benefits or favor, an expression of gratitude for something received or done for someone. You know, there are some people who never say thank you, no matter what is done for them or to them. It's like it's just never enough. They never remember to say thank you. You see, and some people walk around with a spirit of entitlement, believing that they deserve it because of who they are. But I come to tell you tonight that that's not entitlement. That's a spirit of selfishness. You know, that's the way Webster explained it, but I'm going to give you the biblical definition right now. The biblical meaning of the word thanksgiving is not something you do with your mouth. It's not something that you say only when something is done for you, or an impromptu expression of thanks for some good deed done for you. A good that has come your way. That's not the only time you should be thankful, and that's what the lesson is about tonight. The biblical concept of the word thanksgiving does not depend on something one has or has received. This word has nothing to do with your outward circumstances. Some people say, I ain't got nothing to be thankful for. It don't have nothing to do with your outward circumstances, but rather has to do with one's spiritual attitude towards this life. And as I said earlier, it's a hard thing. Being thankful is an attitude of gratitude. And one of the worst sins in this world today is the sin of ingratitude. You know, Paul declared in Philippians 4 and 11, I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Y'all know Paul say that, no matter what state I'm in, no matter what state I'm in, no matter what circumstances I am, no matter if I have or have not, no matter if it's good or if it's bad, Paul say, I learned to be content. You see, that's when you have a heart of thanksgiving, no matter what's going on around you, to you. You got to be still thankful. You see, what he's saying is that no matter what is happening to him, he is grateful. And let me tell you why he could be grateful. Because he knows that God will work it out for his good. And he will continually trust God. You know, when you trust in God and you put your faith in God and you holding on a confession of your faith and you allow God to be your God, G-I-U-I-D, you know, you can be thankful. Because you see, if you're going through a test, you could be thankful because you know that it's going to be over. You know, there's a song that say, when I look back over my life and think things really over, I can truly say that I was blessed, in which it gives you a testimony. Being thankful. You see, trusting God allows us to have a heart of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a learned process. I have to tell you that. You see, it is allowing the Holy Spirit to place within us contentment. And I'm not telling you to be content without nothing, being content with no dream or drive. So don't get it twisted. But what it is, it is, and would you keep working towards something better? Be thankful till the change come. Hallelujah. You see, biblical thanksgiving is not what one does, but rather it is who he is and what one has become. Come on now, you don't just be like that, you become that when you allow the word of God to transform you, when you take the word of God, when we know that everything in the Bible points to us to take on the image of his son, when we ask ourselves, which was a hot thing going on one time, what Jesus would do, and we start to put that in our lives, and we pray, and we study, and we want to please God, you see, we become and we gain a heart of thanksgiving. You see, it's a spirit in which one accepts all things with a heart of thanksgiving. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You see, having a heart of thanksgiving is what allows us to experience joy in the midst of the storm. You see, there's only two ways to face life. You're either complaining, mumbling, and grumbling. These are a form of ungratefulness. So even when you sit there and have your pity party, and you sit there with your head hung low, and you can't think of anything but what's going on right now. You can't see nothing. You see, and let me show you this. The Holy Ghost just gave me this. You see, they say faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, so what they're saying, if you have faith, you don't have to see it to be thankful. Hallelujah. Because if you could see it, you don't need faith. So when you complain and mumbling and grumbling, these are forms of ungratefulness. Because you see, really and truly, when you start doing that, you're opening the floodgates for Satan to come in. Soon you open up your mouth with that grumbling and mumbling and, oh, me, and I'm going to get on a pity party train. You opening the gates for Satan to come in, and he's going to play in your mind. And it forms ungratefulness. You have to remember, it could always be better, but it could always be worse. You see, there was a man who complained because he didn't have shoes and looked up and saw a man with no feet. Come on, y'all. Remember, happy only happens when something that you want to happen happens. Y'all got that? Happy only happens when something that you want to happen happens. Because if something you don't want to happen, it ain't gonna make you happy. You see, happy is all right in its place. But you see, as Christians, we should be marching towards the goal of having joy in the midst of any storm. You see, there's a scripture in the Bible in the book of James. James was Jesus' brother, and he wrote the book of James. And James 1 and 2 says, to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now watch this. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall. It did not say if you fall. And even though we love the Lord, and even though we are Christians, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and because all of that, it didn't tell us we're not going to have no rain in our lives. But God has given us his word, and he has given us a promise that he's going to work it out, and he's got us, and he'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. So that's the ingredients and the evidence and the provisions that he has given us that we can have joy in the midst of the storms. When you truly realize all that God has done, is doing, and has promised to do in and through your life, you know, you'll know what you know, and you know it's enough. And then you can truly begin to have a spirit of thankfulness in all seasons. I often say, I say it all the time, and I tell it to God and anyone else who would listen. I often say, God, if you don't do anything else for me, you've done enough. But yet, he keep on blessing me. What God has done by sending his son to die for our sins deserve all the thanks. And when you receive it with a heart of thanksgiving, God get the glory. When we obey God, you know, when you be in obedience and you obey the word of God, you're telling God, thank you. And disobedience saying you ain't thankful. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Luke now before we go into the scripture, because I wanted to talk about Thanksgiving so we could be on the same page as we explore these verses in this chapter in the book of Luke tonight. You see, Luke, the writer of the book of Luke, was a physician, and many people think that he was a disciple, but he wasn't. And Luke was also the writer of the book of Acts. You see, there's no evidence that Luke ever personally met the man Jesus. You know, Luke got his information from eyewitnesses, and they say he got a lot from Mary, the mother of Jesus, and he was Paul's physician, so, you know, he, you know, was with Paul, and he was, his intellect showed through his writing, and he had deep knowledge of things pertaining to the physical makeup of man is evidenced in his writing. You see, God eventually, evidently, chose Luke to write this gospel to show the humanistic side of God. When God picked the men to write the gospel, he took four different men, four different walks of life, four different backgrounds, four different cultures, because he wanted to touch all of us when we receive the gospel, which is the good news of what? Jesus Christ. So each one of them had a specific style and a writing, and they came from a specific place. And you see, Luke wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't an Israelite. He was a Gentile. So you see, at the time when they was going to the temple and Jesus was walking, the Gentiles wasn't included. But God, in his ultimate wisdom, when he inspired them 40 men to write the word of God, he was writing for us as well. And that's why I'm so thankful, because God dotted all the I's. And he crossed all the T's. You know, from the life of Luke, it is clear that no matter what course we set for ourselves in life, when God has other plans, he changes our direction. You see, Luke probably had social status in his community. He was a physician. But when confronted with the truth, he not only recognized it, but he realized that nothing is more important than pursuing it, no matter what the circumstances or the opposition or the obstacles. Once he heard it, he went in all the way. And that's how we should be, called commitment. We can't keep saying, I want to do more with God. I need to know more about God. I want to get my relation better. We have to walk towards it. But where you at tonight is where you at tonight. It has nothing to do with where you're going to be tomorrow. So you press on, my brother. You press on, my sister. And God will see you through. You see, Luke realized that Jesus is truth. And his life was forever changed. And we're going to go into the scripture tonight. I'm going to start with the 11th verse in the 17th chapter, and I'm going to read all the way through the 14th. You see, and the scripture reads as follows. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And 12, as he entered into the village, there met he 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And 14 said, and when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleaned. Now, remember that now. As they went, they were cleaned. Jerusalem, of course, is where Jesus will die in accordance with God's master plan. But you see, Luke reminds us periodically that Jesus is on this journey, which will end when he arrives in Jerusalem. Jesus knew his earthly ministry was about to come to an end on his way to Jerusalem. So he decided to go through Samaria. Now, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He know he's going there, and he know what he's going to face there, and he knows this and he knows that. But you see, he walked on earth to show us how to do it. And every walk and every breath and every talk he did was teaching us and his disciples how to do with one another, how to do what is necessary to please God. So that's what Jesus was doing. So he's taking this trip. Now, it's important for you to know that Samaria was a place where were people that the Jews didn't fool with. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't mix. But Sila, you know, and his disciples was with him. So they decided they ain't going to go through Samaria because they figured the Gentiles lived there, and they thought Gentiles was heathens and ignorant people, and they stereotyped them, and they did this, and they did that, and they did this. But you see, so he was with them. They went one way, but Jesus went straight through Samaria. Jesus was on a mission designed by his Father. And Jesus was using every walk and every trip and every talk to get us to understand what all of this is all about. And just as Jesus was using his time wisely, he was making every moment and situation count. We have to do the same thing with our lives. We don't know when the end is. You see, Jesus and his disciples was going to the same place, but like I told you, Jesus took another way. The border location explained why the lepers included both Jews and Gentiles. See, there was in a leprosy camp, and the Jews and the Gentiles was in there together. Now, they don't mix now. Follow the story. You see, under normal circumstances, Jews would not have anything to do with the Samaritan. But these Jews and Samaritan lepers were drawn together by their common misery. Come on now, y'all. A lot of races don't get together, but when Katrina came, everybody was the same color because everybody had the same needs, and everybody was placed on the same level, and everybody was looking for the same thing, help. You see, he used every step that he made to teach others who he really is and how we should treat one another and the power that has been given to him by the Father. We know that Jesus didn't heal everybody, and all of his healing and miracles were not performed the same way. All things was done. All was a part of God's master plan. Now, Jesus healed a lot of people, and I'm sure there was a lot of other people getting healed. And you say, well, why he just didn't heal everybody? Because that's not the way it was written. You've got to remember, God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. And God uses everything and everybody that he created for his glory. And if everybody accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and they go to eternal life, this ain't going to matter anyway if you was healed on this side, because everybody going to have a glorified body. And God tell us that this life is only a vapor. We only here for a short time, and we think it's all that in a bowl of chips. God is trying to get us to direct ourselves to our eternal home. And don't put everything in what you can see, taste, and feel. Are you too busy to give God time? Because you got to remember this too. Only what you do for Christ will last. You could build yourself the biggest house in the world, and that too shall pass. The book of Revelation states that it's going to be burnt up with fervent heat. And I'm not telling you if you could afford it and it's in your power to get the biggest house. But while you're living in that big house, don't forget the one who gave it to you. And be thankful. And then it makes sense. You see, the fate of the infected people was made even worse by the requirement that he be isolated from the healthy people. People thought that leprosy was a sign of God's judgment. Come on, y'all. You know how people judge it? She must be doing something wrong. That made people less compassionate to them. They might would be, because they believed that the person brought suffering upon himself. You know how y'all don't want to help some people who keep putting themselves in a hole? Or you don't want to forgive somebody, and the Bible say forgive them seven times, seven times seven. Y'all ain't afforded the privilege. not y'all, we are not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. Just like the story of Job, his friends thought he brought it on himself. But lo and behold, as we read the story more, we learned that it was only a test. But even in his test, Job was thankful to God. He didn't understand it. His wife told him to curse him and just die. His friends wanted to make him believe he did. Job said, even if I did something bad, I ain't do nothing that bad. Hallelujah. You see, the 10 lepers said with a loud voice, Master, have mercy on us. They didn't say me, I. Come on now, y'all. I'm talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. It is amazing that they didn't ask Jesus for a healing. They just wanted something, whatever he was going to get him. It's as if they were saying, not our will, but thy will be done, and believe that his mercy would be sufficient. Hallelujah. Look at the scripture. We have to let God have his way. They didn't act selfishly for mercy on I or me, but us collectively. You see, we have to learn to put our differences aside when we are seeking the things of God. God has no respect of person. He don't deal with big eyes and little U's. Jesus said to them, after they asked for the mercy, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. Jesus does not heal the lepers immediately, but instead command them to show themselves to the priest for inspection, as if they had been healed. You see what Jesus was doing? He asked the lepers to step out in faith. As they walked away, they noticed a change was taking place. You know, with leprosy, you had limbs that fell off, and if they had limbs that was off, they had grown back. Their skin was changing and clearing up, and their sores was being removed. This reminds me of a song that I used to hear when I was a little girl. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find it. And in the song, it said, when I looked at my hands looked new. I looked at my feet, and they did too. When I read that scripture, that brought that to my mind. You see, to be restored to a normal life required a priest's judgment that the person was no longer unclean. However, he also had another undefined purpose, talking about Jesus. You see, these lepers will bear a testimony to the priests of Jesus' great healing. You see, God allows certain things to happen in your life so that you could be a testimony. Come on now. And God allows some things in your life because he know how you're going to handle it, and that could build up someone else's faith. Come on now, y'all. Come on now. You see, the priests judge the leper to be clean. Their judgment will authenticate Jesus' godly power. They were so excited with the healing that they forgot about the healer. And how many of us do that? God bless you. Oh, Lord, going to church. Fall on your knees. Fall on your knees. Pray, pray, pray. Give me a house. Get the house and stop going to church. Lord, please send me a husband. He sent you a husband and you don't know how to treat him. Come on, y'all. You see, God is always working things out together for your good. But we must never forget who's doing the work. You see, one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. They stepped out on faith, obeyed, and received. This is the same thing we must do. If God tells you to do something, step out on faith, obey, and you will receive. They didn't take the time to say thank you. And right now I'm going to read the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th verse. And it reads as this. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Come on, y'all. Which was not a Gentile, as I told you earlier. And you see, the Gentiles didn't even have all of the proper teaching that the Jews had, because the Gentiles wasn't allowed in the inner courts, in the temple. The message was only for the Jews at one time. But glory be to God, the death, burial, and resurrection opened the door to all of us, Jews and Gentiles, anyone, whosoever believe, let him come. And you see, there's only two class of people in the world. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. And so if y'all not Jews, and I know I'm not a Jew, then I'm a Gentile, and I thank God for opening the door and adopting me in as well. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 clean? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, except this stranger. And they call him a stranger because he was a Gentile. He wasn't one of them. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, when I read the other verse, and I told you, when I say clean, it was in a 14th verse. They say, when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that they went, and they were clean. Now, when they were clean, that means they were healed. Now, watch this. When this man came back and gave God glory, now I'm going to read the 18th verse. And this is what Jesus told the one who came back to say thank you. There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. See, the other one was clean, but this man is whole. When they got clean, they got a physical blessing. But watch this. Just as Jesus saw the lepers, whom others failed to see, this man sees what the other lepers failed to see, that he was healed, that God deserved praise, and that Jesus deserved thanks. Only one man returned to thank Jesus. No doubt all 10 was thankful for their healing, but they didn't have a heart of thanksgiving. You see, to be thankful is a heart thing. But their natural inclination would be to seek to be readmitted into their villages with their families and their loved ones. But they forgot to say thank you. It is remarkable that even one man kind of resisted the urge to go home. He returned back to say thank you to Jesus. See, it's all right to want what you want and do what you want, but you got to take a little time to say thank you, Jesus. You see, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Many times when someone received God's blessing, they forget that they may need him again. And when they do need him, guess what? They expect them to show up how they want him to do on their timetable and give it to them like they want them, like they want it. It's a two-way thing. It's called a relationship. By falling on his face at Jesus' feet, the healed leper treated Jesus as he should always be treated, giving him full honor and glory with a heart of thanksgiving. You see, the other 9 lepers received a physical healing. Now watch this, y'all. But the one that was grateful received a physical and a spiritual healing as well. He was made whole, which means saved. But I'm telling you this, and he received his salvation the same way we receive ours, by faith. And others was Jews who had all of the teaching in the world, this stranger, this Samaritan, this Gentile. Whosoever will, let him come. And Jesus was letting them know that. He was really telling them, I'm going to open the door for everybody, because you see, these Jews is not getting it. And because they're not getting it, and I'm got to get my, you know, I'm going to get it with you or without you. He's saying, I'm going to open the door for the Gentiles. And this was kind of, you know, leading up to that. And that's what Jesus was saying, that it's not just for the Jews. It's for whosoever will to let them come. When we have a heart of thanksgiving, we are saying we are grateful for the gift. Also are grateful for the giver. You should always be thankful for your healing, but even more thankful for the one that healed you. When we have a spirit of thankfulness, we realize who the giver of all things is. Yes, that's true. We then allow God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is working in and through us, to give to one another using all that the giver has given us. Remember, everything that God allows you to have given you, and has promised to give you, is not just for you. The word thanksgiving is being thankful, and then because you're thankful, you now give. Thanksgiving. You see, we have to realize that we have to use our time, our resources, our talents, because we are only stewards. A steward is someone that take care of something that belongs to someone else till they return. The Bible says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof in the world and everything that dwell in. Everything belongs to God. What he allow you to have, he's given it to you as a steward. And to be a great steward, you got to realize that it's not all just for you. And you have to protect it. You don't supposed to trick your money off. You don't supposed to make debts and don't pay them. You don't supposed to see somebody in need and don't. You know, that's when you're not thankful for what God has done for you. And if he done gave you much more, because the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. If he has given you much more and abundantly, and open the doors that you don't have, the windows that you don't have enough to receive it, well, quite naturally, you need to think that you have something to share with somebody else. Thanksgiving is a part of stewardship. They go hand in hand. You can't be one without the other. Think about it. And as I close, I want you to take time to thank God for what he has done and what he's done. He sent his son, Jesus, to pay our sin debt that we could never pay. What is he doing right now in our lives? He is allowing his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, leading and guiding us to all righteousness by working all things out together for our good. You don't think that's enough to thank him? We have the victory. And we know we have the victory. You're not fighting for the victory. You have the victory. That's enough to thank him. So, as I said, what he has done, he gave us his son. What he's doing, he's given us his Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and to comfort us. And what did he promise to do? He promised us that we will receive, that he will receive us in his kingdom for eternal life. And I want to let you know tonight, people say, I want to give God glory. If you want to give God glory, remember that being thankful is what gives God glory. And that's our lesson for tonight. And as always, If someone would like to make a comment, if they want to add to the lesson, if they want to give a testimony, if they want to ask for prayer. And I just want to thank each and every one of you that gave me words of encouragement and sent me, you know, condolences for the death of my stepmother, Miss Dorothy Ward. Miss Dorothy Ward, for every since the first time I started, was calling my program every Wednesday night. And she always called. And for me, that was a blessing. And I was so thankful that my stepmother could call my program and be satisfied with my teaching. But I want to thank each and every one of you for you, like I say, your words of encouragement as me and my family go through this, and you keep us in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, each and every one of you. And if anybody would like to say anything, you want to make a comment on what you have to be thankful for, if God did something for you, you want to share it with someone, share it with us, you could do so at this time. We have so much to be thankful for. And God has given us so many promises in the Word of God. And just the fact that you know when you go past through this life, God is going to be waiting for you with open arms. And as the Word say, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to say anything, or even if you want to lead us out in prayer, you could press the one button on your phone and I could open a mic, and you could make your comments, ask for prayer. And anyone that may be interested, interested in the information, my stepmom's funeral is going to be held on Saturday at New Salem Baptist Church. The address is 1530 Alva Street in New Orleans. There's a visitation from 9 until 11, and the service time starts at 11. So if anyone would like to say anything, you can press the one button on your phone. Since no one have anything to say on tonight, we just we just 4 minutes early. I'm going to go ahead and close out with a prayer and include a benediction. And that'll be it for tonight. Next Wednesday, we're going to be in the month of December. And I'm going to use each week to talk on some aspect of Jesus Christ. And hopefully, if the Holy Ghost give it to me like that, I'll be able to give you the readings for each week to say where we're going to come from, or whatever aspect that I want to give out information so that the Holy Ghost could give you illumination and revelation on the matter. I'll be able to give you the scriptures in the book and things like that. So that's what I'm going to try to do. And again, if anyone would like to have anything to say, you could press the one button. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button. If not, I'm going to say the prayer and a benediction, and that's going to be our program tonight. I'm so excited, and I'm so glad, and I'm so thankful to be back with you on Wednesday, because I was like a fish out of the water last week. It just didn't feel right. But God has saw fit for us to come together on tonight, and for that I'm grateful. And I say thank you, Jesus. So, all right. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Dear Lord God, I just want to take this time to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your son, and thank you for your spirit, and I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for being our God all by yourself. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this platform that you allow us to come together week after week to explore your word of God. Lord, I pray that we just don't be hearers of the word, but become doers, dear God. Lord, I thank you for giving me the information, and I know that the Holy Ghost will not allow the word to return void by giving illumination and revelation to the people. Open up their ears, dear God, and open up their heart. Give them a desire and an attitude of gratitude. Let them realize that they have to be thankful for what they got sometime to be able to get something else that they want or even need. Lord, I thank you for everyone that called, dear God, and I pray that everyone is doing fine. I pray for their health, dear God. I pray for their finances, dear God. I pray for their minds, dear God. I pray for their souls, dear God, that you keep on blessing them, dear God. Lord, I am so grateful and I'm so thankful for each and every one of them. Bless their homes, dear God. Order their footsteps, dear God. Teach them that they're the head and not the tail. Lord, let them realize that some things that we sometimes do in our life, you have the high position for us, dear God, but we are hindering it. Instead of being at the front of the line, we keep ourselves to the back of the line. Hallelujah. Lord, just help us and guide us. Teach us to allow your Holy Spirit to mold us into your intended purpose that you have for our lives. Lord, give us a spirit of commitment. Give us the desire to want to know more, to form a closer relationship with you, dear God. Let us realize and let us not allow the world that didn't give it to us, talking about the joy, dear God. Don't let the world be able to take it away. Let us stand tall in the midst of our storms, dear God. Let us be the Vikings that you created us to be, dressed in our full armor, doing the things of God. Lord, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Help us, dear God. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. And let the church say amen. Thank you, God. And as we're going to close tonight, I want to leave you with the word of Peter. I think it's in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 18th verse. And it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was the last writing that Peter did. So he evidently thought it was real important. So I say the same thing to you tonight. Because you see, the knowledge of God is what give you the strength. The knowledge of God is what give you the peace. The knowledge of God that brings the healing. The knowledge of God keep you from falling. The knowledge of God allows you to look at circumstances and situations straight in the eye and keep it moving. You see, that's the knowledge of God. The more you know, the more you grow. The more you know and the more he, you know, God's going to give you the evidence. But sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. And the lesson is over and seem like I'm fixing to start a new one. But that's our lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will, I'll see you next week. Same time, same station. You be blessed. And remember to pray for one another and be thankful for everything you have. Thank God for everything you have and ask God for what you need. And that's our lesson for tonight. Be blessed. Good night.